Welcome to Rebel Health Radio, bringing the best in alternative and integrative medicine to your ears.
Hi everyone, Patricia Warby, Alchemy Therapies here, and welcome to my series of conversations about all things health and well-being. And today I want to welcome back my good friend Kuljit Semi, who is a chronic pain and a trauma release practitioner, but these days she prefers to think of herself as a guide. And she was very eloquent before we started recording about why she prefers to be called a guide. Do you want to just give us a quick rundown, Kuljit, why that feels like a more appropriate term for what you do?
It really resonates so much more to me than any other term I can think of. And, you know, I think we can split off into being practitioner and client, or healer and person being healed. And I don't see that separation. So I just see myself as a guide who can light the way and help people explore the things that might help them. So that really resonates and makes it a bit more coherent for me.
Interesting. I mean, I can see it makes it more equal.
Yeah.
You know, that you are basically not somebody who's an expert and the person who's, you know, just taking all the information from you. It's more of a joint process, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Teamwork. Mm-hmm. Tag team, I call it. We're a tag team. We do it together.
Yeah. And more I find when I'm working with people, that's the case. They lead me where we need to go, and my job is to direct that, if you like, very subtly, by just being a one step ahead and just drawing it to us, you know.
Yeah, it really leads much more flow, and I think it works. So I know it works much better for me that way, but I'm sure it works much better for the client, because also they're not having to work, or, you know, it just seems to come out through their words, you know, those things that jump out and you resonate with.
Yeah, well, that's beautiful. What we want to be in flow, don't we? That's exactly where we want to be, in that state of a parasympathetic flow state, where things are not about the project or the focus of achieving a certain goal, but of actually being in a state where the goal comes to you. That's how I see it anyway. And that segues beautifully into what I thought we might discuss today, because it seems like incongruous in some ways when you're working in the healing profession to be at all interested in a kind of finance or financial well-being or money or anything like that. Because we have a polarized society where, you know, that's almost considered, it's not spiritual or something, you know, to actually be interested in how our society is organized. And I think finance is such a big part of how our society functions or doesn't function. And I know that you know that I've been getting interested in sort of decentralized finance and the sort of whole cryptocurrency thing. And I think you were really surprised, and I was really surprised to find you'd been doing the same thing. And so it felt like the perfect opportunity to have that conversation around money, the M word, you know. How does that kind of interface really with the kinds of way you see the world and how you operate? Do you want to sort of perhaps...
Wow, that's a big question. That's a big question, Tricia. Great, let's go there. Well, you know, since I got into my own recovery and healing and trauma release, what I realized more and more is everything is energy. So, you know, the traumas we store, the experiences we have, what happens in our body, it's all, you know, down to the mitochondria producing energy. Everything impacts everything. And you're absolutely right. We need money to live. We need money to survive. And what I've, you know, really realized was that when I was ill, money was a huge stressor. I've lost my career, I'm not earning anymore, and it led to so much more. And, you know, with my clients, I think it's the same. It creates a huge stressor, and it affects your mental, emotional, physical well-being, without a doubt. also your spiritual well-being, you being a whole person, meant to be happy, you know. So for me, money is energy. It's this is all about life flow, life force and flow, as we mentioned in the beginning. And when I had to do a lot of money work for my recovery, actually, because I had so many different conflicting patterns from my mum, my dad, what I grew up with, that feeling of lack. We haven't got what other people have got. Struggle, saving. My dad would just give it all away and not worry about what we needed. My mum would be scrimping and saving. So in my own life, when I could see those patterns and look back at them, it's very confusing, you know. I could earn money and be abundant, but it would just flow away, and I could easily spend it on others and not on myself. So it showed up in lots of physical ways, but it was always how I felt about it. I never really liked looking at money. You know, I think I learned that money's not a good thing because it made everyone unhappy to me in my life experience. So I wouldn't really focus on it. I wouldn't really look at it. And now, you know, coming up to mid-50s and thinking maybe retirement, it's like, well, if I've got a plan in place, you know, and what about all the things I want to do and how will I retire? It really got me looking more at money in a energetic way and how I feel about it. And I like playing and I like fun. So something new, something different. That's how I've learned and grown in my whole life, is really by trying something new and learning about it by doing it. And that's the same thing. I know you're into crypto. For me, it's more Forex, because I actually did a little bit of Forex trading and did courses on it. But it's not what I actually want to do, but I have an understanding, and I can now see that I don't have to work hard for the rest of my life, forever and ever, to earn money and survive. So I can now allow myself to play and try new things with it. So that's how it kind of fits in my picture. I'm not sure I've answered your question, but
no, you have beautifully. I think it's playful, it's empowering, and it's about energy flow. And I think that's such a big factor that people think they don't really consider the relationship with money, right? How it flows in your life. And it's certainly not considered, you know, in terms of recovery. I don't know anybody that talks about, I mean, it's a question on my form, you know, financial worries, you know, because I know it's such a big part of a lot of people's recovery, is how they focus on the lack of or whatever money. It's such a big part of our stress, you know, not having enough. But few people really focus on the positive flow that, or the relationship they can have with money, and how to kind of change that value system that they grew up with, which is exactly what I had. You know, I think we scrimped and saved. I don't think we allowed anything to flow out. I don't think so. I only remember the scrimping and saving. And so if you had said to me, you know, complete this sentence, money is, I would have said dangerous.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
Scary.
Scary. Absolutely scary. You can't hold on to it because you get it and then it disappears. That was my experience. And so it wasn't until probably, well, I got a pension sorted when I was 27, but that was mostly out of fear. I can absolutely tell you, I was terrified of the idea of being penniless when I'm old.
Right.
And so I signed up for a pension scheme when I was 27. And I remember the financial advisor saying to me, well, not many 27-year-olds think about their pension. You know, I was like, no, because I'm terrified. It wasn't a particularly positive choice. And like you, it wasn't till I suppose I hit my probably late 40s, early 50s, I started to think, right, how can I actually be a bit more proactive with with my money flow and think about how I'm going to make abundance in my life. And abundance isn't just about money. Of course it isn't. Yeah. It's about your joy. It's about your relationships. It's about what gives you meaning. But money's a part of that. And to ignore it and to kind of think, well, no, I'm going to be holy and spiritual and not think about money isn't helpful. It's like trying to ignore something that's a pain in your body. You know, it's going to come back. It's going
Absolutely.
To come back.
Absolutely. And it keeps coming back, doesn't
yes, it? Does.
The patterns keep repeating. And I yes. think, you know, we learn that you can't be spiritual and have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But then when you see it as a form of energy, just like, there's a transaction, there's a flow, and there's got to be a balance. So when I first started doing this work, I was working for nothing. And there was no balance for the clients, for the people I worked with. And in fact, you know, some of them would say, well, I feel a bit guilty coming now, or, you know, this doesn't quite feel right because, you know, you're spending time and you're not taking anything for it. So I went through all these processes of trying to see where my energetic level was with money and what I felt about it. And it's really fascinating how it does often lead to trauma and things we can release. So, I just think it's a hugely overlooked area that puts people into survival. Mm-hmm. I think there's a few different camps with money. There is that lack, that fear, and that puts you into survival. If you look at an unconscious level, it's always there, almost like a wobbly foundation. There's other people who will be that ostrich in the sand, right? I can't look at it. It's too difficult, too traumatic or too scary, and I don't know anything about it. But I think, you know, that's just kind of going to extremes. But when you look at it, what it gives you, what it can give you, what it gives other people and what it can give them, it changes the whole idea of money. And it takes you out of survival of making those fear-based decisions. It kind of changes the whole perspective, but I think you have to listen to those thoughts because and have that awareness that, you know, when you're spending money, does it feel like you shouldn't or you can't or it's selfish? But I think we learn, I know I did, that if you're going to be spiritual or energetic or be caring, in a caring profession even, you don't really expect to have a lot of abundance of money. It was more about you just work hard and help people.
Yeah, it's an either
or. It wasn't about me, it was about others.
Mm. Yeah.
So there was no balance, was there? And if there's no balance, it can't flow correctly.
That's right. I mean, I can remember making that decision. I'm going to leave my regular job to go and do this full time. And I'm going to sacrifice my regular income and my nice, safe pension to do what I love doing.
Yeah.
And at first it was as stark as that, because you go from a safe salary situation to self-employment, which is always a bit like, oh, will the clients come? But what I've come around to now is that actually I had to do a lot of work like you. It wasn't that I suddenly found eureka moment and was perfectly okay with money. I really had to look at my relationship around money and what I felt about it, because it's all emotional. It's emotional, like anything else. And realizing that I had this scarcity mindset and that, yeah, like you, I was working for nothing and then I was half price. And then it was like, what does that communicate to the person you're working with? It says, I don't value myself.
Yeah.
Pure and simple. And we have to communicate what we're teaching. And so a lot of people are quite surprised when they hear I'm interested in. I mean, I've learned a little bit about Forex. I've certainly learned a lot about the money supply and how the banks work, you know, how centralized finance works, and just blew my mind when I found out how extraordinary exploitative it is of most of us, you know, how it concentrates money in a sort of pyramid at the top. And I, you know, that's not how I want to live my life. It's not how I want to teach others to be. You know, it's part of my ethos, really, is that we're all born equal, and that we need to actually take power from the few to the many and actually transform each other and our lives into something more meaningful. So it kind of made sense when I looked at it that way. And yeah, it isn't about me amassing a sum and then going, oh, I'm safe now, because that's a fear-based mentality. It's about putting money to work.
It is.
For your point.
That's absolutely. I think the two things that you just said were sacrifice, because that's, I think, a lot of the mindset. And then learning that actually we're modelling. So to my children and my family, I'm modelling how we can be. So to value ourselves. And that's something I think I came to a conclusion to, that I deserve it. I deserve to be abundant, and I don't need to amass wealth, but to have money work smartly, just like the big corporations do.
Yep.
But everyone has it equally. And I know that might be very idealistic, but they do the same things with our money, and then they take all the 99% and 99.9% and give us 0.1%. And when you, I think that's a huge realization, when you realize that when we put money in the bank or when we give it to someone to invest for us, they're taking all the cream and giving us the, you know, the piddly bits. Yep. And I'm sorry to put it that starkly, but
that is the truth.
And the crumbs, literally. So, you know, I have been thinking about passive income, but I wanted my money, whatever I'm comfortable with, to have a little play and get it to work smartly and just see how that works for me. And it's not something, you know, I still wouldn't do more than I'm comfortable with or with anything new. But I think you learn a huge amount and you actually see things for what they might be instead of just plodding along, not thinking about anything, earning a wage and not thinking about money or being in survival and not being able to think about it. And it's given me, it's so surprising, it's given me so much more freedom. So my big thing is freedom in my mind, freedom in my spirit, freedom in my body. And just, you know, dipping my toe in and playing, it's made money fun again. It's made money exciting. And it's given me so much more freedom about how I think about my next 10, 20 years. So I'm planning the things that I love to plan, and I'm giving myself the possibility of doing those things because I feel much more in charge or in control of or understanding my money now. Just like recovery in health was actually understanding myself, my needs. And money's been a similar kind of journey, really, on, you know, it's been working in parallel. The more I freed up my life force and my energy from those traumas and processed emotions, the more money's opened up to me and more possibilities for money as well. I couldn't have done it in a fear-based mindset. I couldn't have done it.
And so much of our training, I know we've trained in Chrysalis Effect together, but so much of that was about facing your fears, wasn't it? And not just becoming a good practitioner, but really understanding how we work as individuals and doing that personal development as well. Really looking at how we charge and all of those things is such a big leap forward, isn't it? When you put yourself in front of people and say, I'm here and I know stuff, and not because I'm, you know, up on a pedestal, but because I've been through what you're going through. And I'm here and I have a way forward. And for me, the money space is just the same. It's like saying, realign yourself with what's possible. Like you said, playing. Yeah. I have never had so much fun as the last few months. And I'm learning and I'm making loads of mistakes. And I'm really falling.
As we do, and that's okay, yeah. Isn't it? That's right, okay. Right. I think we've both learned that, haven't we?
So that's been extraordinary. And, you know, and there's been a lot of fear there too, rearing its head, going, "Ooh, you've done that wrong. And you sure? And you don't really know what you're doing here." And it's like, no, just take a break, take a breath, come back to what's working, you know, what's working.
Yeah. And how you're feeling, I think that's the key link, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think the other thing for me often is other people's voices. When you have those little, little doubts and little niggly thoughts or voices, what we tend to do is we tend to listen to other people's voices. And when everyone else says, no, don't do that, you know, you kind of back off and you stay in this kind of safe but a little bit fearful space. But I think when we've learned to understand ourselves, I think our own voice is a bit more stronger and we're more in tune with ourselves. So we hear that gut feeling, we feel those emotions, we feel those fears. I mean, we're human and we make those mistakes, but I think what we do is we address those fears and then see if it's something we want to do, so that we're not making decisions from fear, but from something that we think will be good for us, would be fun, would be exciting, would be a learning and growing experience. So I think, sacrifice is I don't deserve.
Yeah.
And we all do. As you said, why should those few people, those few companies, those few conglomerates, why should they deserve and we don't? And we do. Every single person deserves abundance. And just imagine a world full of abundant people and happy people.
Yeah.
Health, everything changes.
So my final point that I wanted to make was about the quality of leadership and how that links to trauma, really, is that there are many people who are fear-based, unconsciously fear-based, like I was, maybe like you were, you know, thinking you're making decisions based on reality when actually you're creating this reality of overriding fear and those reactive decisions that aren't actually from your heart, that they're ones that maybe you were taught or that seem okay, but they're actually not what your body wants for you. It's kind of getting out of that space and leading by example, and not setting yourself, as I'm saying, that leadership doesn't have to be hierarchical. It's not about saying I'm better than you or I'm bigger than you or I've got a bigger pay packet or I've got a bigger car. Or it's actually saying I'm more in alignment with who I really am, and I want this for you. I want this for you. And because this is how we're designed to live, in alignment with who we really are. And who you are is different from who I am, and that's absolutely fine. We have things that we share and things that we don't. Culturally, we're quite different, you know, but we had a laugh the first time we met, and that was great. You know, it was like I noticed that I felt safe in your company, and it was just a meeting of hearts, you know. I do think leadership is something we need to re-examine and recreate, and that is actually, despite I don't like the title leader, I never use it for myself, but I am leading because I am, by default really, I am following through my true values, you know, in life. I am playing where I feel creative, where I feel at flow with life. And if I don't, I can stop that. You know, I can choose how I respond to things. I have a responsibility. It's wonderful. And so I am learning freedom in a new way. And I thought it was wonderful that you brought freedom in, because freedom is my top value.
Mine too. I think for so many people, when we've been enclosed by these and conditioned in these rules and the way things should be, And sometimes they don't fit us. They just don't work for us. So, yeah, freedom's been my top value. And I think the important is it's great to know your values. Many people don't. But many people don't put them into action. So I always, when I'm doing values, I always will say, you know, find that one thing, something small, because that's where everything starts, that will help you bring your value in every single day. Because otherwise it remains a concept and that alignment and flow stays a little bit far away from you, a little bit distant. And yeah, I think that is what energizes ourselves. That's what makes us happy. And that's what our body is designed for, health, happiness. It will draw us away from pain by showing us the pain. It won't let us off. It will say, resolve it, because I don't want you to carry that forward. And every person, I think, who does any of that personal development, but deeper, that inner work, I think is a leader, because they're modeling, they're doing, they're putting it into action. And you don't need to help 100 million people and stand up if you don't want to, but you're already doing it, because by just being that, by doing that, you impact just your energy and your vibrations, I believe, impact so much more. Just like that little butterfly, you might not know that subtle ripple, but I feel it just impacts so much more than we can even imagine.
No, I don't want to even add to that, because it was so beautifully put. It's just so eloquent. I don't think I could beat it. But just to say, putting it into practice is the job of healing, right? You can learn all this stuff, you can read the books, you can do the workshops, but until you actually face your fear and come through it the other side and find your joy, it's very much just a concept. And that's where a lot of people get stuck. You know, they know the stuff, and it's one of the things people say to me when they come and see me is, I've done it all. I've done it all, but why haven't I got well yet? And it's like, how are you connecting with yourself? Is this a battle you're fighting? Is this a project you're undertaking? Or is it a deep willingness to be humble, to feel your feelings, however uncomfortable or unacceptable they are? That's the bit that we miss out. And I don't know how we got to there from money, but anyway, that's because it's a relationship, because it's a flow. And so I had to face my fear of money and the whole idea that the rich are bad somehow, and kind of allow myself to be exactly who I am in this space, which is abundant. That's what I want to be, and that's what I'm modeling. And I'm therefore not going to stop talking about something that I think gives people abundance and actually is available for everyone, if only they are willing to play a little. And that's, I think, for me, has been profound, that I can play with it. And obviously, we're not saying everybody's in the same space. Of course they're not. And some people, it might take a while. And I've lived for a large part of my early adulthood in, you know, teetering on bankruptcy for a lot of the time. So it was, you know, I'm not saying I've always been abundant. I haven't. But I think we can learn to be in that space in a different way. And I think, and I just do want to say, as usual, women have a lot to give this space that they haven't been allowed to give in the past. You know, money has been a male thing, hasn't it? And, you know, if you look at Forex trading, for instance, I mean, it's only recently that it's been opened up more and more women are getting into that. And crypto has been a absolutely male dominated area up until about maybe a year to 2 years ago. And it's still vastly masculine. Yeah. But, you know, when women come into a space, things change. And because we have a different way of inhabiting our bodies and connecting with the world. So I see it as powerfully democratic and a spiritual quest, even, to change the way we are and the way we live. And so thank you so much for sharing your beautifully expressed views with me. I'm going to just ask, if people want to get hold of you, how do they do that?
They can find me on centrebalance.co.uk, my website, or they can email me at kuljitsemi@centrebalance.co.uk.
Beautiful.
Nice and easy.
Excellent. Nice and easy. That's what we like.
Absolutely. My philosophy.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And obviously, people can contact me at Alchemy Therapies or Rebel Health Radio. So I'm just so excited to have done another talk with you, Kuljit. It's just such a wonder and a joy. And thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Tricia. Okay. That's wonderful.
Hey, hope you enjoyed listening to Rebel Health Radio. Do subscribe and look forward to catching you soon.